Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Buy the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee.
Here we are.
All right, we are in the sky once again here at Naked. The heck is the show? Naked Soma.
Something's naked.
We are getting naked. Wow, this is one of those weeks where I can't believe it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Hump day comes so fast.
Well, it is the first day of Philo Week, as we, you know, sometimes we tiptoe through the tulips on the show. We're talking about what that damn moon is doing. But the speed bump that we went over from yesterday's new moon to today's day after was significant, because if you're in the New York metropolitan area, as we are, the weather changed from a tropical almost kind of pungent situation to what I would call a picture-perfect kind of weather situation today. No humidity, deep blue sky, picture postcard kind of weather, and very Philo ready, as it were, and it left this eco going, So how was your exo week, by the way? The suspicion running high and paranoia?
Yeah, actually, people around me. Yes. Yeah, I did have a lot of that.
Well, because like I said last week on the Somascopes, if you listened to last week's show, we started the somatic autumn, or the somatic fall, while we're still in the seasonal summer. So you get the conflicting messages with the environment, and it sort of creates a lot of useful friction for the average bear. And that's why when it goes exo, it's sort of like... when people have a conversation and say, you know, I wasn't myself, I didn't feel like myself today, there's a lot of that talk, and you get that pretty much the whole late summer, and we get into Indian summer now, so...
I've been saying that all week.
Yeah, well, that's the deal. All right, so we got some new toys. First thing, let's see if I even spelled this word right, archiver, yeah. We created a new page for you archivers out there, because we know you're listening to this when we're not here. So we want to get some information from you guys, because we are in the transition mode this month, migrating away from the pop culture, because we're going to play some stuff tonight. It's a lot of pop culture stuff going on, my God. But if you go to somaspace.org/nakedarchiver.html, and we'll probably post that link on the Blog Talk site just so you guys can do it, because we really want the archivers to get some play here and get some input. Because we feel like you guys are really our audience, and, you know, that's what we want to get done so that we have some conversation going on with you as we transition to doing more things that are going to be about you, and less about the world around you, as we journey forward here. So that is up there now. The survey's up and running. Quick and dirty survey to kind of figure out what your listening habits are and how we're going to be able to reach out to you as we go forward. So you can take a look at that at somaspace.org/nakedarchiver.html. So I just slapped that together and between the raindrops around here tonight, so we have that going for us. All right, again, the phone number, 646-478-4847. And tonight's topic, if I don't know if we're going to be blessed with the final contributions of Dr. Jeb as he juggles his six children up there in New Hampshire, is something that him and I really kind of stumbled across and unraveled last year, is this relabeling.
There it goes, every week.
The emergent Philo is here, yes. We're just regaling about how we stumbled across the phenomenon known as positive physiology, and we're going to give people some kind of like key points of what the paradigm is consists of, and how we're going to be talking about it here on the show.
Good.
So why don't you start, because you're the one that got the ball rolling when you picked up Roger's book, and I believe it was the fall of 2005 before before Ava, right? Before Ava was born?
I think I read it in, yes, I did. I read it in the, like the late summer, early fall. Do you hear the serenade in the background?
Yes.
The children. so.
he's living.
I am literally sitting on a powder keg right now.
Oh, jeez.
it was in the late summer, early fall. I read this book, and it was kind of cool. The story of how I found it was kind of cool because we were at the bookstore, and I was watching Kelly and Greta as they were running around tearing up the bookstore, and Nora was looking for some books, and she said, okay, I'm going to go look for books. You watch them, and then I'll watch them, and you can go look for some books. So I went through the self-help area and, you know, the quantum physics stuff and kind of looking around, and then I just went up to check out, and I saw this book that said Making Waves, and it said, you know, something about the theory of the universe, and I was like, that's interesting. And it was a big stack of them right there, and I was like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Picked it up and just looked at it for a little bit and had a couple of books in my hand. I just bought it right there. Turns out that, you know, Roger Lewin, the author, lives in Hancock, which is just right, you know, around the corner from where the bookstore was. And then I read the book, and I was so captivated by the subject matter because of how he presented it. And the way he does is that he talks about Irv's sort of history as a physician and his interest in health and longevity and performance. And then he talks about sort of his path and his finding this idea of the superwave theory. But what blew me away was once I read the whole book, how they tied it together with his applications to physics and metallurgy and cold fusion, and I was like, holy cow, this is real stuff. This has been validated in these other arenas. So it makes a lot more. It was sort of validated to me in the context of physiology. At the time, I hadn't talked about the term positive physiology with anybody, but it just made a heck of a lot of sense that if it worked in these other arenas that are kind of exo and hard and cold and calculated, and they can look at figures and say yes, it works or doesn't work, and he was seeing perceived benefits in humans, that there was this sort of consistency. So long story short, or a short story made very long, I thought about, from a chiropractic standpoint and what we do clinically, what if I could have patients be able to do what Irv was having people do or something similar that would actually give their physiology a boost so that they didn't have to keep coming in my office to get propped up like a, you know, like me putting down their kickstand for a week and then they fall over again. So when I called, when I actually called Irv's office, that's what I said to him. I just said, I can't believe this. If this stuff is what you say it is, then it means that I could get somebody adjusted and then have them go do your protocol, and it's going to be like an amplifier. You know, it's going to make everything that they do better because it's going to give them some grounding and some coherence when they're not in my office. And I was just and the cool thing about Irv is he's, you know, being the father that he is, he's like, hey, well, this is great. You know, why don't you come on down? Because none of the MDs will talk to me about it. Why don't you come on down and meet me in New Jersey, and we'll talk about this work. So for me, it was just this concept that people could do these things and that would tie them into these universal rhythms, and it was the way they talked about it was the way that BJ and these people in chiropractic talk about chiropractic, that if you do this stuff, you're creating a system that will self-regulate and self-heal. And so when I talked that to Irv, he was excited because nobody else was giving him the time of day in the healthcare field. And then after I got the invitation to go down there, the first person I thought of was Pat Gentempo. just because
for those of you not listening, subluxation.com, Pat Gentempo, the Tony of the Tonys of the Sopranos in chiropractic. Just a name that just sends all kinds of triggers through me. But
I thought of that, and then I actually sat back and I was like, do I really want to go in that direction? And you know, no bad to Patrick, but I thought about who did I know who would really understand this stuff at a degree that was not through the filter of subluxation-based chiropractic, who would look at it for what it was. And then obviously you were the next person, and I And I actually never made a call to CLA, but I called you, and I think, I can't remember the timing now if we had known about Ava or if we were talking about
we,
Ava.
We were probably in the late part of October 2005 when you told me about the book. I went out, got it, read it in like a couple of days, and, you know, essentially it was one of those things where I already knew about Irv from my explorations into nonlinear dynamics and the whole chaos community. I'd already read his paper on cycles and the heart, and I knew a lot about heart variability from my own work. So I understood his work. I understood the fractal nature of things, but I hadn't gotten to the point where I'd read Roger's, layperson's interpretation of it, definitely not the stuff he had in there about, you know, Irv's life and all. So it was one of those things where it made something that was purely scientific and sort of exo to me, very human, and the journey he went on, you know, all the things he did at the University of Pittsburgh and the Cathedral of Learning and all the things he went through, it made the story much more compelling. And then I going to meet him at the Batcave down there in New Jersey was another experience that we're forever scarred by. But it really shows that, you know, that the domains are always in the background orchestrating stuff, because the way he came up with his methods and the way he studied it, it came from losing a friend that was, as a philo would be kind of pushed in a certain direction, that was an avid exercise advocate, and he was involved with the Olympic movement, and everyone thinks of, you know, the just do it Nike sort of push yourself, no pain, no gain mentality, which was very prevalent in the 80s. And this is when Irv was heading up the Olympic Committee for Exercise Research, and he was saying, as a cardiologist and as a surgeon, that if people understood the rhythm that the body goes through, it's the recovery part that has to be looked at more than the exertion side. And this is what, you know, happened to his friend. His friend basically was a runner, and when you stop running is usually when you're the most susceptible to having a heart attack when you're running, because your body isn't conditioned for recovery. And that's what happened. I forget his friend's name off the top of my head, but guy in his 50s
Jack,
or so. And
Jack something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's in Roger's book. The whole story's
Jack
in the book.
Kelly.
Jack Kelly, that's it. Yeah, he was a big wig in the Olympic movement as well. And
well, he had been an Olympic rower, I think.
Right. And Irv actually participated in Israel, right? It was an Olympic thing.
The Israeli Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, he had a lot of experience with this as both an athlete and a doctor, and now he was researching this method that was looking at recovery cycles, and it's, the modern correlate for that is called interval training. And Irv was looking at things with a completely different paradigm, and it was not something that anyone that's walking around with an allopathic view of the body, a mechanical look at the body, is going to understand. And that's why, you know, from the mid-'80s on, he became sort of a pariah in his own community, because he wasn't talking what was taught in church, and that led to him, you know, fast forward to Tylenol in the years and everything else he did. So Irving Dardick, you know, pretty good character to study if you guys are interested in that stuff. But getting back to how we kind of went through that tunnel and had that experience with him, and led to you know, what we're calling positive physiology. We read Roger's book. We went down and had some direct experience with Irv and his family, and we looked at his protocol, which was involving, you know, a lot of elaborate stuff to take, you know, the heart rate variability data from the people he was working with, and they were very sick people. I mean, these are not people that were, you know, walking around living their lives. They were very advanced condition, people that were basically housebound. Some of them were, having several conditions going on at the same time. And Irv had a protocol called Cycles that I guess is still available up there at lifewaves.com, his website. And long story short, we looked at it, and understanding physiology in general, we started looking at it as chiropractors, saying, well, I wonder if we can do something that's a little more basic and a little, as we call it, soft cycles, that didn't involve taking all this quantitative data, but got the same effect. So we designed
a lot of that stuff we pulled out of the last chapter of the book, which they talked about all these very simple things that would, mm-hmm. hence the word simples, all those simple tasks that sort of enhanced. In other words, we were looking at what if you incorporated these rhythms of daily living into everything that you did, so that sort of the ambient nature of your life was supporting these universal rhythms rather than doing one thing once a day to try to drive up that rhythmic mountain, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're saying that you go through this journey anyway, both on a daily basis and on a lunar phase basis and on a seasonal basis. You're always riding these waves, and that was Irv's mantra, is waves, waving, and then waves. There are no particles. There's just concentration of waves and then a dissolution of waves. And he was looking at that very similar to, like, in the early 90s, the way Michael Talbot was saying it's a holographic universe. Irv was saying it's a superwave universe and all these embedded waves, and that's why the heart rate variability is the marker that he looks at to see as a window to all of your physiology. It's governed by this particular thing. And the heart rate variability literally means the change between heartbeats. So it's looking at the structure of the way your heart is relating to itself and its environment and running your whole physiology, because it's a big biological marker for that. So we were looking at it, if we can induce this state of coherence without having to get someone on a bike and hook them up to, all the gizmos and be protocol bound, we would be able to look at things as a feedback loop. And there's, in studying physiology, you have negative and positive feedback loops. A negative feedback loop kind of zeroes things out, and a positive feedback loop exponentially advances things, so hence the term positive physiology. What would get you to a state where your system can kind of self-regulate and advance its own awareness of itself without having to spend any energy? And this is what we designed Simples for and all the other things you see on the website.
Understand that the, you know, the population that Herb was working with, like Mark said, were really these long-standing chronic degenerative diseases and people who were very sick and had tried everything. And so he was having them do, without really calling them, you know, soft cycles or anything, he was incorporating a lot of these rhythmic components into their lives. In the meantime, they were doing a very regimented exercise protocol on a bike, you know, with the heart rate monitors. And so he was working with a population, and what we kind of saw was most of the people we're seeing, you know, aren't, you know, at death's door or aren't Olympic athletes. So that protocol, as much as it would be helpful for, you know, the average soccer mom or Joe Sixpack, wasn't as applicable because it was targeting such a narrow group of highly motivated individuals, either those who were going to die if they didn't do it, mm-hmm. or those who were going for a gold medal. So we looked at it and said, there's a much broader application here for the average person, because the average person isn't all that healthy. So we said, you know, we're seeing it every day in our offices with our clients. How can we take this to more and more people who will actually benefit from it?
All right, well, we got a caller here. I'm shocked and amazed. So here on Naked Summer, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hello, this is Carolyn from Minnesota again.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey.
I thought you were out.
Is out there? We should know about her.
Oh, I came running home just to listen to you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, but I don't know what you're talking about. What book are you talking about?
We're actually, you know, like I said, this is sort of a transition show. We're going to get into some fun stuff a little bit later because there's so much juicy stuff out there in Philo Land. Can't resist. But we're trying to talk about what creates the sort of infrastructure of everything we're doing in Universal Somatics. Everything we talk about here at Naked Soma is we're giving examples of the domains, examples of how things interrelate with self and surroundings. And the work that Irving Dardick talked about and what me and Jeb were able to experience is that, you know, people talk about having a flow state or, you know, where everything just opens up and gets clear for them. And that's what's, you know, we experience it as clarity, but in physiology it's called coherence. And that just means that, you know, the mathematical thing is that the signal-to-noise ratio is optimized so that it's almost like when your TV gets a good reception, you don't have a lot of fuzz on it. It's the same thing happens in your brain.
Yeah.
Look, specifically, Carolyn, is called Making Waves, Irving Dardick and his superwave principle.
And he's really talking about conditioning. He's really talking about physical conditioning and getting the heart to be in rhythm with itself so that it can regulate all the other things going on in your body. We're talking about a behavioral thing, and that's why when people try to change behaviors, they're going against their own memory, and their memory is much more organized than their experiences. So when you try to stop smoking, lose weight, you know, change your exercise regimen, discipline your kids, anything you're trying to do that's going to alter the status quo, you're putting yourself in an unstable state that doesn't have a lot of coherence. And so cultivating that and being able to build yourself up so that you can make these transitions is what we're talking about giving you guys clues to on the show, and specifically with emotions. So
okay.
You know, when it comes to what Irving Dardick's work is talking about, he's much more centered on the physical changes that go on because he's dealing with more of the regulatory mechanisms of dealing with you know, that part of your health. But we're talking about a broader context of how you relate to yourself and other people and all that wazoo.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, Mark, I don't know if you brought this up before I got on the show, but one thing that sort of piqued our interest very early on in developing what is still a developing concept here for what we're doing was this idea of positive psychology, which is very well known and
right.
reflective happiness. And we looked at that and really said, okay, here's a guy who's, you know, who a lot of people are hearing about and you're seeing him all over the place. But what you really, you know, you realized right off the bat, that's, you know, you're so good at seeing into these models, was you said this guy and all these positive psychology people are doing great work. The problem is it's like they're doing great finish work on a house that's sitting on dirt. It's got no foundation. It might have a good foundation, but nobody's checking to see if it has a good foundation because nobody's aware of what the biological rhythms are doing in relationship to the universal rhythms. So
mm-hmm.
you could do state chasing, as we call it, a lot of the positive psychology techniques all day long, but if you don't have a good biological foundation that's coherent, and that kind of so I wanted to bring that up because if you think of the emotional makeover, you know, people think psychology, but what we're really saying is yes, psychology and no psychology, because if you only go from it from the psychological place, you're missing that whole component of the body rooting itself and being self-regulating. It's so effing simple, as Irv said, and we make it so effing complicated. You know, that's the beauty of what we do is we have this ability to sort of see through these models and make them more simple and make what people are doing with positive psychology and other things much more effective.
Like Carolyn, for example, do you read self-help books at all?
Oh, sure I do.
Okay. Now, you read them, like what's the last one you picked up? Did you read, like, The Secret or something like that?
Actually, that was the last one you told me to read. It was almost a year ago already.
Oh, that was Wayne Dyer.
What, The Power of Intention?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. The Power of Intention, was that it? Or was it Louise
no.
Hay?
There you go, Louise Hay, yep.
Okay.
Okay.
That one.
Now,
yeah.
You read the book, and then how much of that was able to be lifted from the book and put into your behavior in your everyday life? Like, if you had to give it a percentage.
Well, I had to read it 3 times before it actually meant anything to me.
Okay.
So 10%, and then it went to probably 70%.
70%? You pulled 70% of the stuff in the book. It took you like a year ago.
Yeah, because it made me realize a lot of things about my past and my dad and how some of his behaviors, even though I think, you know, he's an adult and he should be acting differently, it made me look into his childhood and see why he was acting that way. So it changed my lookout on why people act the way they do. And it changed the way I act.
And that's altered the way you look at everybody else or just that one relationship?
Just that one relationship.
Okay. So then what would it take for you to take that experience and then translate that to every relationship you're in?
Oh, I'd have to know the people really well.
Yeah. But the knowledge you gained from the book should be able to be applied to any relationship, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yes. I mean, everybody is different and...
What we see by and large with the self-help movement, and like I said, just like positive psychology, just in general... Nothing wrong with self-help stuff. The issue is that it's hard to take generic information and apply it to a specific person's life and have it stick if that specific person doesn't understand the context of when that stuff is relevant and when it isn't. So you end up with a lot of maps. I mean, I got books 360 degrees around me in my office here that are basically good reference books, but it's knowing when to apply information from book X or book Y. That is
right.
That is the learning curve, and that's why most people, when they buy a self-help book, they get into a track or an author or a topic, and every 18 months or so, they go back and buy another book on the same topic. Now, if you're really learning something, you know, you don't need the next book. But most people just get into the mindset of dumping more information into their brain without understanding how their brain runs, how they learn, and how they can get past the point of just introducing new stuff when they haven't really eliminated the old behaviors. So, you know, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about with emotional makeover, is to stop looking to
the
world as the source of all your answers and being able to run the inside story a little more. So.
Okay.
Is that a Jeb baby or is that a Carolyn's end?
No, it's not.
Jeb baby.
Oh, okay.
No comment.
Otherwise, you've been busy this week, girl.
Always.
Yeah, well, I'm not going there. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go.
Thanks, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Carolyn. Bye. That number again is?
The number here?
646. What the hell is it?
I got it.
Got it?
Let's see. 646-478-4847.
Oh,
I had
part of it.
Second caller tonight. Yes. All right. I have to steer it in a different direction here because in case you've been unplugged from the universe, the multi-talented, multi-faceted, multi-dimensional Britney Spears made her way sashaying across the public eye the other night, and it was a train wreck. And it's still being talked about a couple of days later. Now, of course, YouTube has taken over, and there was a phenomenon going on. I cannot believe John Smoltz has struck that guy out on the ball at his ankles. Oh, my God. Anyway, so did you guys see it even on replay, what happened to Britney?
I saw a few minutes of it. I was nauseous, so I shut it.
All right. Well, basically, we're going to be talking about this in a minute, which is, the process of the Universal Smash you talk about is interfacing. And what that means, basically, in a nutshell, is that you have a relationship with yourself, and then you have another relationship with your surroundings. And the relationship with yourself is primarily governed by what you're doing in the moment. The relationship with your surroundings is something that you experience in waves. We talked about waves a minute ago. And it's called the transition cycle. And I'd say probably in the last 35, 40 years, the research trend has gone away from the stress response and all about looking at distress and the harmful effects of stress and the stress response and all the general adaptive syndrome and all that stuff, to looking at the other side of stress, the positive side of stress, the eustress, that allows you to grow, learn, and change, which is really studying the process of transition. So you look at old Britney there, and she's been taking a lot of hits to the hull of the ship, the last couple of years, and what's happened is she's lowered her status quo level of coherence down to a point now where with things that were second nature to her are now uncoordinated. So when you saw her on stage the other night, she was exhibiting what we call loco in this language, which is low coherence. She was not able to just do the act. She didn't practice it enough. She didn't ingrain it enough, and it's almost like it isn't like riding a bike. Some of these things, these wells kind of level off. So the response, which is kind of funny, was on YouTube, and this guy Chris Crocker became a little bit of a sensation. Let's see if I can boot it up quick.
On YouTube, and here it is, if you haven't seen it yet.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human! What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her. She hasn't performed on stage in years. Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more! Leave her alone!
All right, there you go. You can't make it up.
Was that a parody or was that real?
No, there was some dude on the on the YouTube crying out for Britney.
Oh, you just can't make it up.
Well,
first of all, I thought it was a woman, so.
Well, she looks like a woman. It looks like a woman. You see it on Yahoo there. It's on the Yahoo homepage if you're surfing now. It's just, I saw it and I just stared in disbelief. But this is the Philo sort of a code of, you know, they'll feel for the one that's the weakest. They feel for anything that's vulnerable. And Britney, if you watched her on Sunday night, I mean, she looked drunk on the stage. The background dancers were leading her around like she was like blind. She was puffy. She was out of shape. She didn't know the routine. She barely practiced. And then all the backstory came out. You know, she was out till 3 a.m. in Vegas both nights. And
where was
and
she?
Basically,
where was the performance?
In Vegas. Yeah, she was out there for the pretty much last minute they decided to insert her as the opening act because it was going to be like a big comeback for her. You know. And
yeah.
It basically fell. Run around with flat waves. So this whole concept of having low coherence, there's six basic interfaces or relationships you have with your surroundings that you go through every time you're experiencing change. So if you start off with your status quo. If your status quo is like she is, she's running low there, then anything that comes by, that any event that happens that knocks you out of your regular rhythm, you're going to drop into shock. And when you're in shock, you don't move too well. So that's what you were seeing there. And then what happens after that is your coping mechanisms come up, all your emotions come up. And with Britney being a Philo, you know, she's going to feel more vulnerable, so she's going to act that way. She's going to go into withdrawal, and you're going to see the, like, deer in the headlights situation. That's exactly what was going on stage. I mean, you've seen it before, like Ashley Simpson when she was tanking on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago. Same thing. You know, and in a nutshell, as you go across the spectrum, so if the way you breathe, the way you move, and the way you feel are all sort of running low and you're not really in rhythm with yourself, then the way you act, relate, and express yourself is going to reflect that. And that's when people try to make a behavioral change from the voluntary side of their system, from willpower and all that other stuff. They're really kind of bucking the system. The system goes from the biological core to the social surface, and most of us try to make changes on the surface, and that's why you will get, you know, the initial change. You know, if you go on a fast, you lose some weight, or you go cold turkey with cigarettes, and you can quit for a weekend or two or whatever. But eventually, the core comes around, and just like the bowling pins, and then and just you're back for the next frame, and memory's gonna take precedence. And that's why most people, when they addiction recovery, all those things, they have such poor outcomes, is because they don't apply this sort of rule of life. And when it comes to someone like Britney. You know, here's someone with low coherence across the board. She's 0-6, and then they stick her on the stage, and you watch a train wreck. And you know, of course, the night wasn't over there because you had the brawl between Kid Rock and Tommy Lee over Pam Anderson, and it's just nonstop Philo circus all weekend long there at the VMAs. And you know, it you're watching it, and it's like there's two levels because. There's the event, and then there's the media buzz around it, which there's always two stories. It's someone rising to fame and someone falling from fame, because anyone that rises into the public eye, gets that hero status for a while, and then of course we topple the hero down and we watch him fall down. So, you know, Britney of course has been through so much in the last, I don't even know, 2-3 years. It's been, she seems like she's been leapfrogging with Lindsay Lohan, the Eco there, and Paris Hilton, the Anto. Yeah, I mean, so we've had all these celebutants just sort of saturating the news with these things. When you see something like that, you can't help but think that MTV exploited her, you know, just to get the ratings, and they knew she was going to tank. And if anyone saw the rehearsals that was managing her had any, compassion for her, they would say, look, you know, you're not ready. And they stuck her out there anyway, And then the Eco there, Kanye West, had a little temper tantrum because they shoved him in some lounge somewhere in the Playboy thing, and he was basically relegated to a side act, and he is the number one single in the country, and he was treated, you know, he said that he had to get his skin whiter to get to lead off, so we brought the race card out. So, you know, all those things, all those elements, and going across, when you're in low coherence and you're in that first interface, you know, you're going to feel fatigue. You're going to feel an energy drop because you're not in the right state of mind, right? So that's the first thing, your energy drains. And then you get to the second interface and you drop coherence, and now you're going to start feeling pain because you're not going to move very well. So you're going to feel the physical sense of discomfort. And then it goes to the third level where now you're going to start getting inflammation and fever and things like that. And you're going to, all the emotional things are breaking down. So you're getting that immune response to the lack of moving around, because if you don't move around well, you don't pump your lymph and your immune system starts to break down. So all those things are involuntary. You can't tell your lymph to do this or that. So it's like these things are happening in the background, and then you get to the foreground where you think you're driving the bus, and now you're inhibited. You feel like you don't feel confident, and you feel the butterflies in your stomach. So your reflexes are slower, and you can't adapt to change that are happening that normally you would be able to. And then instead of being able to relate to your environment, now you feel combative, and you're feeling much more of a sense of righteous indignation. So you start sticking your argument out there instead of coming from your strength. You're defending yourself instead of sharing. So you have this combative nature, and then finally you start to alienate yourself to your surroundings, and you feel foreign to your surroundings and foreign to yourself. And that's what was going on mostly with Brittany the other night, was you just watched her go from, I don't have any energy because I've been partying for 2 days, I can't really move too well, I'm feeling a little drunk up here, and then it's like, okay, I've got to go out and perform. So she forced herself, and you just watch her just go da-da-da-da-da. And that's when people try to make behavioral changes without getting leverage on their labels, they're not able to govern those things very well, so they stop trying to change. And that's when you get all the things escalating through, and you get all the addictive behaviors on top of it, and denial, denial, denial. So that's what happened with Brittany. So, boy, got that out of it. So there's only so much you can say about this stuff. But, I mean, there's that, and then you look at what happened on the front with the war with General Petraeus the other day, and the way they were attacking that guy. And, you know, has anyone seen General Petraeus, the profile?
No.
You guys still on the show?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, okay. Because he's sitting there conveying an argument, trying to be as exo as he can. Now, this is why we counter sectarian violence. This is what all the things he was saying. But he didn't believe a word he was saying. So it was like it come out of his mouth, and it was like, you know, yeah, we counted them. And it was a so what kind of a thing. It was saying in parentheses that was silent, because he happens to be onto, but he doesn't have authority over the information. So it was like puppet strings. It was very weird watching it. I don't know if you guys saw the testimony, but everyone that was questioning him.
All I saw was, I just saw the photos of him. I saw a couple different photos, and it's funny that you say that, because when I looked at him, I couldn't figure out what his domain was just from the photos.
Yeah, he was in low coherence.
Because
he was blurred.
He was blurred. He's exactly like, I saw three different photos, and he looked like three different guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the Seinfeld, when you see the girl, she looks good in one light, but the other light, she just looks so good. It was like three different photos, and I was like, is that the same guy? And even the transcripts just looked like nothing. Yeah, there lacked a convincing, credibility. I don't know what the word I was looking for. Maybe just there was no coherence to it. It looked like it was all, he was saying these things that he didn't believe in. That you just explained it, because he was onto, but he had no authority. And so really what you were getting was like a real distorted message. Because so much of the message is body language. His body language was flat.
And he doesn't have the eco flexibility to take a little truth and go woohoo and just kind of tell a story about it. And
right.
So he was, an eco can fib about the fact that it's Wednesday. Because they can embellish because they're emotionally wired for that. Where an onto, it's like if it's not true to them, it doesn't come out of their mouth usually. And so they can't do it. They got the George Washington gene. You know, they cannot tell a lie because they can only tell what's true to them, even if it makes no sense to anybody else. Even if it's invalidated by 500,000 people, it's true to them, and that's all they care about. But if it's not true to them, it works against them. So
right.
Here's
I mean, they
guy,
can tell a lie if it's, as long as it's true to them, but it's not a lie to themselves, right?
Yeah, another Seinfeldism. It's sort of the Costanza thing of, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what was going on there. And it was kind of funny because you watch these guys, these political types, especially the presidential candidates, And, like, you know, Hillary was out there just grilling this guy yesterday. And you could tell she believed everything she was saying because the questions weren't about her interior. It was about the exterior of somebody else. And you, I'm just watching this, and I'm just going, it was like watching a woodpecker, you know, just go off on a tree. I was like, oh, my God, this guy must want to crawl under the table. You know, because all he has to say is, didn't you vote for the war, Hillary? That would have shut her ass up. But, you know, he's sitting there taking a beating for the team. And his name is Betrayus. Which, if you say it,
wow.
General Betrayus. Oh my God! It was to me. It was like I watched C-SPAN as much as I watched like MTV and VH1 just for the theater, because everybody's playing some kind of social role that you could just flip the switch and they just change chairs. Everything would coming out of their mouths would have to change. But I always find it kind of amusing when they get like one of these big, you know, tension convention throwdowns. And you see that. And then, you know, so you had the Britney thing, first ring in the circus, then you had the General Betrayus situation, and then, you know, the last couple of days we've had this huge controversy, you know, going on with the New England Patriots and ex-facto up there, Belichick, spying on the Jets with a camera. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, they got some dude on the sideline with a camera, like, stealing the signals from the other team. You know, and it's like, you know, and they were funny. They were comparing him on the radio today. They were comparing him to Barry Bonds, wondering why they had similar personality defects, so to speak. You know, it's like the relationship with the media.
Right?
Well, they couldn't say, it's like, you know, why are they adversarial with the media? Why are they so secretive? Why are they such a high level of expertise? Why do they need another edge? You know. And I'm saying it. I'm listening to them. I'm going, because they're both EXO. It's a system. They say the system isn't fair, so then breaking the rules of that system doesn't matter. They're not loyal to the – they're not like Philo's going, oh, it's unfair to take pictures of the other team. They're like, if I can take pictures of the other team and, you know, if I can figure out, you know, the signals that they're sending and I can read plays, I'm going to win. If I win, that's the object of playing this game, so I don't care about if it's right or wrong. I can do it. So that's that sort of psychopath, you know, exoisms that you see these guys doing. They don't. You never see Barry Bonds defending himself about steroids. He's much more upset that the media is questioning him and that he's the only example. And I there's never been a positive test against me. So what do you want from me? You know, I'm the home champ. Leave me alone. And same thing with Belichick and his record. Up until today, no one ever questioned that. It was, you know, him and Brady and the fact that they had a better team. It's now, it's like, wow, and maybe that's the reason why Peyton Manning could never win a game in Foxborough, was they knew the signal. And they were stealing signals from the Packers last year, 8-18. They beat them 35-0. They're still stealing the signals. It's like, there's like a point where it's like, is there an end to your chicanery? And it was, they used an odd couple thing, which almost made me just, like, fall off my chair. You know, about honesty and stuff like that. And it was in the middle of this blog about all this stuff about coaches and how ruthless they are. And this is a quote from Felix. It goes, is there no end, Oscar? Is there no end? It just floated through me like I just couldn't stand it anymore. So getting back, looping around to this whole concept of positive physiology, we talked about some of the elements of it. And how we're going to be using it here to give you guys the emotional makeovers. As a long fly ball to right. That's gone. 2-1. Is that what we think it is? Yes. It's Marlon Anderson, the super sub. So what we want to get past you guys is a couple of different things, you know, as we wind up this hour and start thinking, because we're going to have guests on and things like that. We're going to get things going with that. Is that if you haven't done the initial things that we talk about here, like doing the profiles and stuff, understanding what the domains are, things like that. We always invite you to go to somerspace.org and do the cell profiles. But the general idea of the paradigm we're trying to get across is not just about universal semantics. It's about understanding what positive physiology means to you personally. And we talked about coherence a minute ago, and that's what we're defining in terms of what your well-being is. It's a function of this coherence. Like, Brittany didn't have it the other night, so the minute she steps out of her status quo, she starts to stumble and basically can't function. There's three elements. Your life needs to be manageable, comprehensive, not compartmentalized, you know, not like Bill Belichick with his wily little secrets. And it has to have meaning, because if the things don't matter to you, you don't raise your level of function. You just go through the motions. This is what, you, what people were complaining about Britney. She had no passion the other night. She had no passion because you didn't know what day it was. And the thing is that if you don't know step one, is to know what you are, not who you are, not the story, not Britney the performer, Britney the philo. Britney the philo was as vulnerable as a bunny on the front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was basically, those eyes could have been on the side of her head for all we knew. You know, she was just sitting there like, what am I doing here? And you could just see that happening. The meltdown was underway. So we need to point that out. So we illustrated that. We talked about all the Soma stars in August and, you know, how they're able to use their secondary domains to support their strengths rather than divide themselves up inside and be kind of one-dimensional. And so all the behavioral changes that you're going through, you have to, you're setting a new target for yourself, whether it's a new weight or a new job or whatever it is. You have to know how to avoid all the old behaviors and also ignore things that are distractions along the way, that kind of the kind of false gods, so that you can get this emotional resonance in yourself to make the changes happen. Because I think we've documented here 100,000 times, after the age of 30, if you're walking around in a meat suit, that, you know, 3-pound universe in your head says no 9 times out of 10 when you want to change your behavior, because it's an adult brain does not have the plasticity of an adolescent brain or of a child's brain. It basically shuffles around a lot of memories. It doesn't need a lot of new experiences. It's wise to you, and it sort of has, nope, according to the code you've written here, you know, we're not doing it. So how do you get past that? You can't use willpower, and you can't starve yourself into doing things just by, like, shutting down. You have to be able to steer yourself into where the coherence went. And so we give you some clues, you know, by doing simples and looking at the coherence calendar, things like that. Those are some of the things we're talking about here to guide you through that ocean so that you can get to the other side. So, you know.
Right,
so
but the real, you stole my tip of the week. My tip of the week was to, so I'm going to supersede you here a little bit because I got to.
Bounce to the tip.
I got to bail out here. Tip of the week is to go back and, you know, re-identify yourself with what your domain is, with the profiling, and listen to some of the older shows. And I know I've done this a couple times, but really go back and kind of get a handle on what are the four domains, and then maybe, well, we don't have it up there yet, but the wiki page is coming for positive physiology, and so these words, salutogenesis and coherence, and start understanding this, because once you understand this stuff, then, you know, going out and getting the somatic companion, you know, for the emotional makeover, which doesn't mean that you're, you know, you don't have to be made over because you're bad. It's just that if you don't have the somatic companion, you can't understand what you are in the context of what's happening in your life, and you're just missing a whole lot. And so it's like when you can start saying, what's Barry Bonds and Belichick, and you can say, oh, it's because they're exo, that alone, it opens up so much to your worldview over, you know, what you had prior to that. So that's my tip of the week, and I'm going to be signing off here from Babyland.
Thanks, Jeb.
Okay. Well, back to back to the reservation, but you're already on the farm, so
yeah, exactly. Talk about
all right. Go tend to your fatherly duties, and we will rejoin you next week at the same time.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Jeb.
Take care, man. Oh, there we go. The final beep of goodbye. So yeah, so we covered a lot of things, a lot of examples tonight. But I wanted to get across, like we're sort of panning back from here's pop culture conditioning you to think a certain way, feel a certain way, act a certain way, and then you put your identity into that box, which, like I said, it's pulling you away from your biological roots and saying, no, conform to these rules, which you always slip back into your biological patterns anyway, and that's why most people, when they're put into those false boxes, they tend to break down. Business, they call it the Peter Principle, right? It's like you rise to the level of your incompetence. Well, you also will lower yourself, so to speak, rooting yourself in your core to your competencies that you come into this world with. So if you don't understand what your strengths are, and all you do is cover up your weak spots, you don't really grow and develop, and that really creates an adulthood of defensiveness and paranoia and all the other things that people are popping pills for. You can't escape your biology, and the culture doesn't have any awareness of it. So you have to develop your own skill sets for it. So that's what we're going to be talking about here on the show, And we've been, you know, getting naked for a couple of months now, or 3 or 4 months now.
I'm starting to catch a cold. I'm so naked.
Yeah. By the way, where's our song?
Would you like the new song there?
No. I want to hear the...
Oh, the other
the,
song. All right, hang on.
The Ricky Martin, yeah.
Okay.
The of low coherence. The, we'll take a little dance step here.
All right, just a few minutes of the song here. Ready?
Yeah,
hopefully,
the beginning. It's good, yeah.
Hopefully it'll work, because I didn't get a chance
we'll
to test it. Let's see. Mm-hmm. It'll take a sec. Come on now.
We're so adept here. Right now the archivers just went, okay, that's about it for this week.
Well, let's see. I don't know why it doesn't want to play. I can actually play it off of my my drive. Hang on a second. It just won't be as clear.
I got it. I'll play it off mine.
Okay. Huh. It didn't work. The upload did not work.
You know, that's life. Now,
yes.
Here we go. In honor of low coherence. Coherence, craziness, link the two. That's all I'm trying to say. All right. Carolyn, I understand, is back on the line. So let's see what she wants here. Our personal caller, Carolyn, what's up?
Where is
Hello?
She?
I don't know.
Carolyn.
Did she not hang up before? Are you there?
She was there. Where is she?
Well, I she's got the mic, but Carolyn, are you out there, or are we going to let you go?
Let's see. No, we can't hear you. She's talking and we can't hear her.
Why not?
I don't know. Wait, let me
Ooh.
Hit this thing here. Are you there?
You there now?
Bafangul.
Hmm.
Hello?
What's the question?
No, we can't hear you. She's typing. She hung up. The hell with it. I wonder what she wanted it.
Well, we'll never know now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. If Carolyn texts you in the next couple of minutes with the question, we'll get to it.
Yes,
we'll turn
we will.
Our attention now to the somascopes. Do you have the periscope sound?
I do. I, whether or not it uploaded, we'll...
we'll shot from half court.
We'll give it a shot here. And Carolyn's calling again, but she's got to wait. I have a submarine diving horn is what I have, so...
Sorry, that's fine.
Here we go.
Beautiful. All right, so on that cue, we'll see if Carolyn can raise her voice this time. Whoop, I just hung up on her. Nope.
Jesus.
She up there? What the hell?
Oh, Carolyn. No.
Are you there?
No.
No, she's not there.
Oh, the hell with
Did
it.
Did she text you?
She said the call won't go through. She's having trouble.
Well, what's your question, damn it?
I don't know. What's your question? I'm yelling it at her. Well, she can hear me. What the hell do you want? we only have 6 minutes. Get your somascopes done. That's what I look forward to every show.
Well, you figure out what her question is, and you
Yes.
You let me know. I
yes.
am me or something.
You're yes, go ahead.
Getting nutty. All right, so here we are. Oh, boy. Just spiraling through the middle of... middle of the night here. All right, so we're in the final week, which meanders to actually to next Wednesday. So we're going to still be in the final mode when we're speaking again next week. And as we said, we're getting dangerously close to the fall equinox which gets here soon after that.
Yay.
So I think it's on the, when is the actual equinox? The 23rd. Same rules as last week, only now we're going to be dealing with that sense of a split message between our relationships with other people and our relationships with ourselves. So it's still the theme of the Anto season of summer and the Philo phase of the lunar phase going into the fall is going to be pulling us in two different directions. So it's going to be, am I relating as well to myself as I am to others? That's going to be the theme. Who's going to excel at that the most out of the four domains is overflow? Of course, it's going to be your Philo and your Anto, because that's where they are. The Anto starts with relating to themselves. The Philo starts relating to others. The Eco is going to be sort of the one that gets sort of a half of each piece. So the Eco is going to be torn between those two different poles of the of extremes. And the Exo, of course, will ignore all of it because they don't care about themselves and other people very much. They care about systems. So you're going to see a lot of exofying within the philosphere. So I'm talking jargon here. But basically, you're going to see a lot of people going on whatever your surface behavior is, and they're going to take things much more literally than they normally do because they're not going to be able to make a good judgment call because they're getting these conflicting signals. The conflicting signals are going to be the environment tells me it's summer, and I'm supposed to be looking at relating to myself, and the somatic rhythms tell me, hey, it's Philo week. I should be looking for coherence through my relationships with others, and how do I govern that? How do I make that call? You've got to be able to master some skills that allow you to really govern the moment first. So, you know, we got a couple of minutes here. I'll just give you the one that we use a lot in this work called the four-second window. Don't count to 4 seconds. That'll make you nuts. Just breathe in, breathe out, and breathe in before you speak. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. When you're deciding something for yourself, give yourself that rhythm that is putting your attention inside your breath, and then everything else you express after that becomes more rooted in your body, so you're not so scatterbrained when you're talking that you're going on just old memories and old behaviors. You're giving yourself a novel moment, which can then create new momentum in your life. So that's the Somascopes for the week. All right, so we are tossing it back to Professor Val for her quote of the week.
Yes. Tonight's quote, it's an Anto making a sort of a Philo quote, so I figured I'd grab it. It's, there's always one who loves and one who lets himself be loved. And that's W. Somerset Maugham.
Wow, that sounds like a springtime quote to me.
Yeah, kind of is. Well, Philo.
Yeah, as we, you know, wind down the precious days of the summer, I think I'm going to play us out with a little Sinatra, if I can find it.
Oh, that'd be nice.
How much time we got?
Let me see. If I can press the right damn button. Well, we have 2 minutes.
All right, well, I should be able to find it here, then. Oh, look at that. It's actually in my library here.
Is it really?
Who knew?
That's a beautiful thing.
Actually, it's with Julio Iglesias, so this is a rare version.
Oh my!
This would be good. So, you know, if you've had a summer fling or you wanted one, let's see. We'll just wind you down with this, and we will see you next week here on Naked Soma. And as the song begins, I'll just instruct you to travel light through the darkness. As soon as I can get it going.
Yeah, bring a flashlight.
Yeah, I need. There you go. As we sway away. I love this song. It's a drinking song.
Pour me a drink.
This is pretty much my entire life right here. In this whole song. The whole beginning of this song, anyway. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Enjoy.
Came blowing in from across the sea. Lingered in a warm and fair to walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled on the golden sand. You and me.
Yes.
In the summer wind, like fame.
Yes.
Flying by.
was new beneath a bright blue umbrella sky. Then softer than that piper man, one day it called to you. And I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind
and the winter wind,
they have come and they have gone. The summer wind, the summer wind.